Well, the message this morning, probably more than other times, is a message that will change the direction of your life. Wow. For the better. For the good. And this message this morning I'm going to share is probably least understood and least appreciated. And so I hope that you'll open your heart and your ears to hear the message this morning. It's entitled, The Power of Words. The Power of Words. Hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet. Follow along with us this morning. I looked up the meaning of the word, and it said that it is a sound or series of sounds that have meaning. That have meaning. The power of words, they have meaning and they have an effect. Where is the source of this power? We're talking about the power of words. Where is the source? Well, the source comes from God. Actually, from the very beginning of all things that we see and know now. Here's the first point. God's word, his word, created the universe and upholds all things. Created the universe and upholds all things. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God is the source of words. He was the first one that expressed words, expressed something of himself that had meaning and had an effect. There was nothing, but God in the beginning said, let there be light, and there was light. Bursting out of nothing that could be seen came this profusion of stars and light. And it began to expand, and light that started in that moment of his word being expressed is still going out today. In fact, our telescopes can look back to that light that's just getting to where we are at this point in time and looking back to a beginning. Scientists call it the Big Bang. I don't know all the aspects around the Big Bang, but I do know this. That's exactly what happened when God said, let there be light. Something happened out of nothing. Something burst into being, and it created all that we see. It came out of nothing. You know, the thing that sort of delights my heart, because I'm sort of, you know, I have a bent towards astrophysics, and I love watching videos and reading about the beginning of the universe and the things that they're seeing and how far the universe is and the new things they're experiencing. And the more I read, I'm interested, I'm finding cropping up more and more scientists who are not Christians. They don't necessarily believe in God, but they're saying, you know what? Things are so complicated. Things are so precise. And at the smallest detail, there's such intricacy. There's such design and purpose, and they say, you need to consider a God hypothesis. Sort of a God in quotation marks, hypothesis. Something had to design this. Something had to, it just the more we observe, the more we see, something was behind all of this. And of course, it makes me appreciate God's word, his word. His expression, in the beginning, the power, the effect, the power of God's word created everything that we see and experience today. The vastness of it. And it's still going forth. The universe is still expanding. It's going further and further because God's word said something. It's still having an effect today. Now, not only that, but he upholds all things by his word. The maintenance of it, the sustaining of this world is from his word. Listen to what it says, Hebrews 3, verses 2 to 3. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, through whom also he made the worlds, upholding all things by the word of his power. Everything is sustained by the word of God. You know, sometimes you start reading this stuff and there's sort of doomsday theorists out there of, you know, what happened if something comes close and knocks the earth off its rotation, or something collides and our atmosphere is taken away, and there's so many things could happen that, you know, and just the tilt changes a little bit and all these things. But, you know, I don't give it a thought. Don't give it a worry. Because the Bible says this creation that God made is sustained by his word. It's being maintained by his word. And so I don't get concerned about all these things because God is in control. Seed time and harvest is going to happen until the end, the scripture says. There'll be seed time and harvest. It's going to happen. There's not going to be a tremendous shift and change. I mean, things obviously can vary from time to time, and the earth has gone through all kinds of climate changes, but it's maintained by his word. So I have a comfort. God knows. And there'll be a time, the scripture says, that the Lord is going to say, and time shall be no more. The whole aspect of time, and still man's trying to figure out what is time, and all of this thing. But it's all to do with his creation. It's all to do with the word that he spoke. And it's God's eventually going to say, that's it, time's up. Time's going to be no more. And then there's going to be a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, probably with new physics and new aspects that we can't even begin to think about now. But God has designed it all for us to move into that realm. So I want you to see the source of the power of words. It came from God, his expression, his words. And now we are his creation, and we are designed in his image, and we are the sole part of his creation that have words and language, and we make sounds and series of sounds that have meaning. We were in Quebec last week, and almost everyone there that we met spoke French. Now, they obviously could deal with us in English, and they struggled for words in English to serve us, and it was a delight being there. But I said to Kay as we were walking down the street, and there's a whole bunch of these kids walking down the street, and they're all just speaking in French to one another. And I said to Kay, I said, look at that. They're all practicing their French. All the languages. I don't know how many languages in the world. Sounds, things that have meaning, and they have an effect, and they're communicating with one another. It's an amazing thing that we have. We have the power to create words. Oh, wow, listen, think here for a moment. God is a source of words. He was the word that started everything. We are created in his image. He breathed into us something special from all other creation, the breath and the spirit of life. We can create with words. Listen. Can we create with words? Oh, that's the power of words. And I put in your notes this. Effective prayer, and prayer are words that we speak. Effective prayer is creating God's kingdom on earth. Listen to what it said when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. We see you praying. We see the power that you bring forth from prayer. Teach us how to pray. And so Jesus said in Luke 11, 2, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's the amazing thing. God's got a plan and purpose for all of us. He designed us perfectly. He has a preferred will for your life. He knows all about you. Every situation you get involved in, there's a will in heaven for how that should work out, how it should be resolved, how the interaction should complete itself. There's a will in heaven. Through our prayers, through our words, we are to create God's kingdom on earth, His rule, His reign, His dominion on earth through our words, because we're praying, Lord, what Your will is in heaven, let it happen right now here in this situation. Lord, I'm praying for this couple. Lord, whatever Your will in heaven, I'm praying that it will be done on earth. So my words, praying, sensing God's direction, sensing what He's giving me an unction for, believing that there's a purpose and a plan in heaven, and I'm discerning it, and so I'm praying His promises into this situation, I'm actually creating with my words. Effective prayer is praying God's kingdom and what He has in heaven down onto earth. It's not feeble prayers. It's not pathetic prayers. Not fearful prayers. I said a few weeks ago, it's not reciting all the wrongs, but it's positively praying God's word, God's will, discerning what He would want. I'm praying it into you. You actually are creating it through your words. Man, when you see this, you'll get excited about prayer. See, we sort of think prayer is, you know, I'm praying in the room and someone outside, they wouldn't know what I'm saying, so my words are sort of bouncing off the ceiling. Oh, no, no, no. Your words are like the words that God said, let there be light. There's a power release. There's something that's going on, and it's going to keep going and keep generating. In fact, the Bible talks about our prayers are actually bottled up, and they're before the throne, and it brings forth an aroma. And what is that? It's the prayers of the saints, it says. Your prayers are effective. It may not happen just exactly the way I pray, but know when you're praying in faith, believing, you're praying God's kingdom down onto earth, you're releasing a power, the power in prayer. Now, that's not my message this morning, but I'm just sort of saying that as we go, that you realize that your prayers are effective and they create. Not only that, but all things in your life are sustained by your word. Just like the creation is sustained by God's creation, and His words are sustaining His creation. So we're living in a world. Now, do you know that your words you're speaking right now, and you spoke this morning, and you're going to speak this afternoon, those words sustain your world? Determining your world, the structure of your world, the solidity of your world are being maintained by the words that you speak. Wow. There's a tremendous power in words. Now, one other thing, speaking about God's word, and this is the next point. God's word brought salvation to the world. God's word brought salvation to the world. Now, it says in John 1, in the beginning was the word. See, right from the beginning. That's what started the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, God's Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It came forth from God, His Word. And then it says, jumping down to verse 14 of that same chapter, and it's in your notes, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this word that was an emanation from God, this word now is not just natural words, but this word becomes living. This word takes on a physical expression. And the word became flesh And Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. It was his word manifest in the flesh. And so Jesus came. His word came and lived among us. We looked at it and beheld his glory. You know, no matter who looks at Jesus today, whether they're Christian, atheist, they all have to say, wow, what a good man. Wow, what tremendous teaching. Wow. If we all lived like that, this would be a better place to live. You know why? Because he was the expressed image of the Father. He said, the only words I speak is what I hear the Father say. I speak them. He was speaking. When Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are spirit and they're life. All of Jesus' words were life-giving, generated by the Spirit of God coming forward. And what a beautiful, we beheld his glory, the glory of God. Now, he not only came to reveal God, but he came, Bible says, for three purposes that I can find. It said he came to save his people from their sins. So God's salvation came to this world through the word. So he came to save his people from their sins. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And he came to bring glory to God. So that was this word that came. And so he took our sins and he died on the cross. He made a way. He provided our salvation. The word provided our salvation by taking our sins upon himself and dying for us. So, similarly, your words activate your salvation. So just as God's word provided our salvation, our words receives the salvation and activates it within us. You see, he died for the sins of the whole world, that they may be saved, but not the whole world is saved. As many as received him, that's the power. It comes when they receive him. So how do you receive this salvation? Well, he tells us in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, our words actually have the power to activate the salvation that's provided there for everyone, but for it to come to you personally, you believe in your heart. See, it's not a belief in your head. Because if you tried to believe in your head, you'd try to say, well, I got all my doubts removed and I know the answers to everything, so I have no doubt in my head that Jesus is who he said he was. No, it didn't say believe in your head, believe in your heart, that center of your being. It's where you feel. It's where you value. And it's where God touches your heart and he draws you in your heart. Your head can have all kinds of reasons and questions your head can argue with your heart, but your heart's drawing you. So you believe in your heart. I'm sure glad it was believe in your heart, not believe in your head. Because I could never get all my questions answered if it was believing in my head. Questions I didn't have answered 50 years ago, I have answers for now. Because I've lived enough and I've seen, oh, okay, that's that. But now I got other questions that I can't answer. So it's not a matter that to receive the Lord, it's not, I got to have no doubts. Because even the man who had his son healed, Jesus asked him if he believed. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So there's part of him, he had doubts in his head. But he said, Lord, I believe. He acted on his belief. So you believe in your heart. You don't believe in your head. You can actually choose to believe. Jesus said to his followers, he said, be believers, not non-believers. You can actually choose to believe because you choose to act on your faith and what's drawing you in your heart. Oh, folks, hear this today. A lot of people stumble at this. if you come heart first to God, you'll find him. But your mouth needs to confess what you're feeling in your heart. So you open your mouth, you confess the Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, I realize I'm inadequate. I realize, Lord, that I don't do things right. Lord, I humble myself. I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Change me. And so your mouth is confessing the Lord. You're confessing what you're believing in your heart. And you will be saved. And so this is the beautiful thing, the power of our words to change our eternal destiny. Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your faith sort of still floating? Never really got nailed down. Well, I wonder, maybe there's a God. Oh, I feel him sometimes. Oh, but then all these other questions come in my mind. And you're sort of on the fence. You're sort of drifting here and there. You need your mouth to nail it down. You need to confess with your mouth. And then actually physically, you show it by being water baptized. And so I confess with my mouth, and that's why people confess as we're baptizing. Do you believe Jesus is the Lord? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sin? You're going to bury your life and rise and live a new life in the Lord. You're confessing with your mouth as you're being water baptized, acting out that I'm burying my own life and I'm going to rise to live a new life with the Lord. Have you experienced that? Has your mouth activated your salvation? Well, why don't we do it right now? Why wait? We can confess our faith right now. And so I'm going to ask all of you, just pray this prayer after me, just phrase by phrase. Some of you will just be affirming your faith. You believe this. This is an affirmation. Others of you, though, might be sensing, you know what? I'm going to act on what I feel in my heart. And I'm going to confess with my mouth my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of your words to bring salvation to you. So, we're going to do it all together. Would you just pray? Whether you're praying it for the 100th time or whether you're praying it for the first time from your heart, would you just pray right after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I hear your word this morning. And I feel drawn in my heart. And I confess now with my mouth. The Lord Jesus as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart by your Spirit. I confess my salvation in you. I want to live for you. All the days of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for what he's done. You see, it's not the prayer. It's the words that are connected from your heart as you pray that prayer. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Man, that's powerful. That is powerful. The power of words to bring salvation. Now, let's continue with this. Our words determine the direction of our lives. Our words determine the direction of our life. Now, we've already seen our words can bring spiritual life to us because we prayed that prayer to accept the Lord. But now, ongoing, as we live our life, our words will determine the direction your life takes. See, this is what I'm saying. Many times we don't understand this. We don't realize this. We think the direction of our life is determined by circumstances and things ahead of me, and there was this obstacle, and so I had to, direction had to change, and this and that, and if that person hadn't done that, and if only I had that opportunity, and if only, you know, I could have been born this way or that way. That's not what's determining the direction of your life. Your words determine the direction of your life. Listen to James 3, verses 3 to 5. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and they turn their whole body. this huge horse, you want to change the direction, that horse too big, put this little 3-inch bit in their mouth. And with that bit, you can direct the horse where you want him to go. It says a bit will turn the whole body. Then it says, look also at ships. Although they are so large, are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So there's this huge ship, but it has a rudder. And as you turn the rudder, it determines the direction of the ship. Whether it's a little paddle boat that Kay and I had, and she had her hand on the rudder, we're just paddling, or whether it's an aircraft carrier, it's being turned by rudder, by a rudder. So small comparison to the ship. Even overcoming fierce winds. Says, so even so, the tongue is a little member. Our tongue is small. But the direction of your life is determined by your tongue. What you say, the words you say, that's the power of words. The direction of your life, where you go, how you navigate through hard times, how you navigate through storms, is not outward, it's inward. It's what's coming out of your mouth. Your words are determining. See, this is why I say this is the least understood, least appreciated. We don't understand there's a power within you to direct your life. It's the power of your mouth. It's the power of your words. Just like a horse or like a ship, it turns whichever way that you want it to go. But we're so indifferent to our words. We just spew words. Words come out without no thought. It's like, you know, it's almost like driving a car and the steering wheel is going to determine, do you take your hand off the steering wheel? Or you're just slapping the steering wheel or whatever you want. You know, let's turn it here and let's turn it over here. And you wonder why you're going all over the place. And why did I end up here? Well, you ended up there because that's what your words directed you at. I didn't want to get here. I thought I was going here. But unbeknownst to me, I said some stuff. And the words I said directed me here. I don't want to be here. But we very seldom connected. It was the words that came out of your mouth that put you there. Oh, let us hear this morning. Let us hear this. This is powerful. It's a small little member. Oh, I just said that. It was just a comment I made. I didn't mean anything by it. Why would they take that? Or your words are determining your thoughts and your thought processes and your mood. Yeah. Mood is being determined by your words and what's coming out of your mouth. And it's putting you in a direction that if you knew the connection, you would never want to go there. But you never realize it's what I'm saying that's bringing me there. Oh, God, help us to see this. Lord, right now, help us to see this truth that's so powerful, to hear the power of our words. That's why the Bible says you should be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to anger. Ecclesiastes, let your words be few. Don't be spilling off words without thought, without understanding. It says a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. It's not going to vent everything you feel. See, if your words vent all your feelings, you're going to be all over the place. Don't let your words vent your feelings. You're foolish if you do that, the Bible says. But a wise man, he will direct, he'll constrain, he'll hold it back. It says in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. because the words are so powerful. You just speak enough words, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You need to restrain your lips and what you say and think about it. Be like Jesus. I'm only going to speak the words that I hear the Father say. Not going to speak. See, your words, listen, your words are not self-expression. Your words need to be self-transformational. It needs to be, your words are directing you somewhere. Your words need to put you in a, I'm not there yet, but my words, that's the direction I'm moving in. Not just expressing where I am. Are you going to get yourself into a mire that you can't get yourself out of? The next point is this. Your words produce life or death in you. Life or death in you. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death. Well, we've already seen eternal death or eternal life's in the power of the tongue. But now, as you're living this life, creating the world you're living in moment by moment, is also created by your tongue. You're either bringing life to yourself and life to others, or you're bringing death to others and you're bringing death to yourself. Your words have fruit. Your words have an effect. It bears fruit. You're going to harvest something. And what you harvest is determined by what you sow, your words. And so if you love your tongue and realize its power, and you're going to direct your mouth to speak God's words, you're going to enjoy the fruit of it. It's going to come about. Someone said, words don't make that much difference. It doesn't really matter what I say. Death in my words? How can my words kill something? Listen, your words can kill a reputation. Your words can kill a friendship. Your words can kill a business. Your words can kill a marriage. Your words can kill a church. There's power in your words. You need to realize how powerful my words are. It's affecting me and it's affecting those around me. Your words are either build up or tear down. Proverbs 12:14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. There's something coming out of your mouth, and you're going to live a good life, better life, happier life, more fulfilling life, and a life that counts for God's kingdom if you speak right words. I just put this in your notes. Our words determine the quality of our lives. Other people are not determining the quality of your life. Oh, I'd just be so much better if I married someone different. I'd just be so much better if I had a different boss at work, different neighbor. No, the quality of your life is determined by your words, not by the circumstances around you. You are determining the quality of your life. Your words are determining your attitudes, your feelings, your emotions. You're negative, you're critical, you're always seeing what the bad that can come out of this, and then your mouth is speaking that, and you're talking to other people about it. You're just producing a fruit that you're not going to like. It's going to be bitter. You're going to complain, and you're going to complain all the worst of the other people did to you, not realizing, no, you did it. It was your words that determined the quality of your life. So, our tongue can bless or curse. Our tongue can bless or curse. James 3:9, speaking about the tongue. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, My sisters, these things ought not to be. This shouldn't be the way it is. That I come on Sunday and I sing songs of worship and praise to God, and then I go out and I complain and I speak evil and negative about someone else out there, and I'm bringing a curse. Oh, it's not that you're saying I put this curse, this hex on you. You know, it doesn't really work that way, because the Bible says a curse without cause will not come. So it doesn't really matter what someone else says about you. It's not going to have any effect on you unless there's a reason for it to come. Why would it have a reason to come? Your words, your response to it. Satan's lies only have an effect when you believe his lies. You don't believe Satan lies, they have no effect upon you, no hex put on you. But you may be cursing yourself without knowing it by the words you've said. And because you've been negative about that person, you're causing other people to be negative, because it says whisperers separate chief friends. So you're bringing a curse. You didn't mean it. I was just passing opinion. I just thought it. I just said it to her. No, it came out of your mouth. And you don't know the power of what comes out of your mouth. You need to appreciate that. And say, I am going to put a muzzle on my mouth. It says in Proverbs 12:14, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Now, I said this ought not to be. I wonder who this applies to. People that speak blessings and then they speak curses. You know who it applies to? All of us. All of us. We're imperfect. But we need to understand it, understand the power of our words, and restrain our words. And as this verse says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. So, here's the other aspect we need to be aware of. Because it's so powerful, our words will be judged. Our words will be judged. Matthew 12:36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your works you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Okay, this judgment, when we stand before God's judgment seat of Christ, this is not a judgment to your eternal destiny, because we know that our sins are covered by Jesus, but we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. It seems to be in the context of that judgment. You receive rewards, your position and place in eternity is determined by this judgment. There's some kind of accounting for how we lived our life as Christians. It's not indifferent. I don't think we realize that enough, that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give an account of your words. Ooh, give an account of my words? How many words do you speak in a day? Well, I didn't look up recently, but the statistics I have in my mind is that men speak about 20,000 words a day, and women speak about 50,000 words a day. You're just more expressive than we are. A lot of those things are good words that you say. But you're going to give an account of every word. You thought it was idle. God said, no, that wasn't idle. That word was powerful. That word had energy. That word had meaning. That word went out and accomplished something. Now, God's word will not return to him void. It will accomplish that without sin. Is it possible that the negative words you speak are similarly, it's going to have an effect, a negative effect, and you're going to give an account of it? Every word we've spoken, wow, imagine the volumes. I mean, most of us would write a book in a day if our words were put into a book. Would you want to read that book? Would you be happy that everyone else read that book? Or would you say, oh no, skip that part. That was just garbage. Those are just idle words. I was just venting. I was just upset. Not realizing, no, those words were powerful. They were having an effect. These things ought not to be. The Lord, we're going to see how much they ought not to be when we stand in that judgment, because we're going to be judged according to the words. So, as we bring this down to conclusion here, there seems to be two aspects of this. There's our heart, and there's our words. It's not our words alone. It's believing in the heart and the confessing of our words. What you believe in your heart and what you say about situations and other people, it's coming from your heart and it's coming out in words. So how do we handle this, heart and words? I was talking to Kay this week when we were on vacation. I said, we need to start a heart and spoke foundation. Because they go together, heart and speaking. Heart and stroke, similar. Cut off the blood to your heart, heart attack. Cut off the blood to other parts of your body, stroke. When I kid, I could never figure why those two words went together. I didn't have a understanding in those days, but now we know heart and stroke. There's also heart and spoke as a Christian. So there's two parallel truths, and this is what I would say to you. Here's the first truth. Our words change our hearts. Our words change our hearts. And the parallel truth is, our hearts change our words. So what is it? Is it the chicken or the egg? What comes first? Because it says, out of our heart, our mouth speaks. But we have also seen that our words affect our heart and your attitudes and your feelings, what you say. And so we need to grasp these two things, heart and speaking. Here's the verse in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Words of my mouth, meditations of my heart. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. So it's coming out of your heart. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So you're feeding your heart all the time. Your words feed your heart. We talk about, I took his word to heart. Someone said something, you take your heart. I want you to know all your words are going to your heart. So you, out of the abundance of your heart, is going to speak. So you need to make sure you're putting a whole lot more good words into your heart. You're letting a negative word spoken towards you bounce off because you realize, you know, that's just that person speaking. I'm not taking that to heart. Oh, well, they said that. I can't get it out of my mind. So it goes right to your heart. You're meditating on it over and over again. You're getting grieved. You're getting upset. You're getting resentful. You're getting bitter. Affecting how you see things. Man, don't take those things to heart. Take God's word to heart. Take his promises to heart. Take those things to your heart. Your words will align your heart because it sets your direction. Your words set your direction. You believe in your heart, but you speak the words and it sets your heart in a certain way. You want your heart aligned with God, because if your heart's aligned with God, he'll give you a new heart, and he puts his spirit within you, and he puts his words in your heart. And so then when it comes in, it'll come out. So it is coming from your heart, but your words aligned your heart. They go hand in hand. Your words will change your heart, but your heart will change your words. So you embrace them both. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable to you, O Lord. This is what brings tremendous power. I heard someone say, open your mouth and your heart will jump out. It's true. I want my heart aligned with God's heart. So I'm watching my words, and I'm wanting my words to come out of my heart that's a good heart. Here's what it says, and this is my last point to you. Give your heart to God and guard your words. Give your heart to God and guard your words. It says in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart. Give me my heart. See, all God wants is your heart. He wants the center, the core of your being, the essence of you. He doesn't want your service. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want all this, your obedience and all those things. And those things will come, but he wants your heart. Give me your heart. Because he knows if I have your heart, everything else will come. So give the Lord your heart. And we prayed that earlier about giving your heart to God. Your mouth, confessing with your mouth, gives your heart to God. It aligns your heart with God. Then God can pour into your heart, changes your heart, changes your words. So they come together. It goes on to say in Psalm 31:1, lest I sin with my tongue, I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. So I'm restraining my words. I'm putting a guard on my mouth. I'm testing every word that comes out of my mouth. It's like going through a word detector. You know, we go through metal detectors, going to see if there's any metal as you go through the airport. We need to go through a word detector that detects if there's anything negative, anything corrupt, anything evil. Let no corrupt word, let no evil word. You want to be positive, thinking of good things. You need to put this detector. So you stand there, your mouth has got this thing. When you start to talk, you're detecting. You can usually see it in the faces of others. If your words are stirring something in someone else, you might say, okay, I better check my words here, because this is going in a direction I didn't want it to go in. Rather than blaming the other person, ask yourself, what did I say that put this in this direction? I wasn't guarding my words. I was just spilling. I was just giving them a piece of my mind. I was just telling them how it is. Everything I said was true. Might have been true, but all things that are true are not meant to be spoken. At the right time, the right place, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. You've got to think of the verse. A word aptly spoken. There's a place to speak when there's time to be remain silent. You need to put this guard on your mouth. And then this final verse, and this is really key. As we put this all into practice, it says this, for we all stumble in many things. We're imperfect. The people around you, imperfect. People are going to say things they should not have said. People are going to spout off, and it can just put you in a dizzy, and unless you just have your ground and you know who you are in the Lord and your heart's given to God and you realize nothing someone says is going to affect me unless I allow it to affect me, and I'm not going to allow this to affect me. And so we all stumble. I was reading something this week, and or not reading, actually I was watching something, and the presenter in the video said this when he was criticizing his wife for something she did, and he felt the Lord say to him, this is the way your wife stumbles. How do you stumble? You see, we all stumble. Don't jump on somebody else's stumbling. We're all going to stumble. I mean, just know it. You're going to stumble, they're going to stumble, and if your husband is doing something or your workmate, just think to yourself, yeah, that's the way they stumble. You know what? I'm going to help that person get up. I'm not going to stomp on them when they're down. We all stumble. What does the rest of it say? If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. See, this is the focus. Focus on your words. It's more powerful than you think. It's a handle on how to shape your life. It's the handle to spiritual growth. It's the handle to come to perfection. Where should you focus? We could focus on all kinds of things. Well, I got to do this, and I should do this, and I should... No, just focus on your words. If you're able to just focus on your words and ask God to help you, that is the thing that's going to turn your life, take you to perfection, and make you the most beneficial person that you could be. Your words. Your words alone. And it will take care of so many other things that you're so concerned about. If we could just allow the Lord to help us with our words and fill the treasury of my heart with good thoughts, prayers for others, doing good to those that spitefully use me, all the things Jesus said, fill my heart with good things, then good words are going to come out. Amen. The power of words. Shall we stand together? Amen. I'm going to ask you just to take your hand, your fingers, and would you just touch your lips? I want to pray for us. Lord, this word that we have seen this morning is really powerful. It's telling us the power of our words, what we speak out of our mouth. Lord, I pray, as we put our fingers on our lips, that you would give us a new sensitivity to the things we say, the words that come out of our mouth, how we respond in situations, what we say in conversations, what we complain about, what we criticize. Lord, may our words be transformed. And Lord, help us to speak words that are spirit and that our life. Help us to speak as the oracles of God. Give us this focus like never before, Lord, on our words. And may we follow in your path and be all that you want us to be. Lord, we ask for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's thank you.